Would you turn in your Bible this morning with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 13. I'm glad that you're watching today. And as usual, I'd like to recommend that you get a pencil and a piece of paper, write down the scripture references. Better still, get your Bible and read the scriptures with us as we go through the scripture. I thank you for watching regularly, and I hope it's a blessing to you. Our aim is to preach the gospel to those that are lost, and with the aim in mind that they come to a clear understanding that Jesus Christ died for their sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Then if the payoff for sin is death, the only answer for sin is to die. But if we die for our sins, we'll end up in hell. There's no hope for us if we die for our sins. Therefore, God gave a substitute for you. Jesus Christ is that substitute, and God took your sin and placed upon him and made him to be sin for you in order that you can believe on him and trust him as your Lord and Savior, believing that he paid for your sins, and God can receive you. Then the second thing is our aim is to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. That is, that this mystery, this fact that Jesus Christ was dying for our sins, was a mystery hid in God from the foundation of the world, revealed through the Apostle Paul. Now, to make men see the fellowship of this has to do with studying the Scripture rightly divided. We who were not in the Commonwealth of Israel, we were not ally with Israel, but strangers from the Commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants of promise, without hope and without God in the world, are now made nigh by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the message of the grace of God has come unto us through the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Therefore, there is a distinctive difference in the preaching of Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and the preaching that he gave Paul to do in Romans through Philemon. There is a difference in the ministry of Peter, James, and John, and the ministry that the Lord sent Paul to do. The gospel that Paul preached is different than the gospel that Peter preached. Some people say, well, Peter preached the death, burial, and resurrection. He certainly did. In fact, he preached a murder indictment against Israel in Acts chapter 2 for murdering the Son of God, for murdering the prince, the Messiah. Paul gloried in the fact that Jesus Christ had died. How can you say that Peter's preaching the same thing in Acts chapter 2? He's accusing them. You took him by wicked hands. You've crucified him. You've slain the Prince of Life, as in Acts 2 and Acts chapter 3. How can you say that that is the same when Paul said, we glory in the cross of Christ? We're not ashamed, he said. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Believes what? That Jesus Christ died for your sins. And yet, in Acts chapter 2, after Peter had preached unto these people, they said, what must we do? He said, repent, every one of you, and be baptized for remission of sins. He did not say unto them, Jesus Christ died for your sins, just trust the Lord Jesus Christ, believe that he paid for your sins, and everything will be fine. He didn't say that at all. Why? Because he didn't know that. The Lord had not revealed that. And so the Lord revealed it under the Apostle Paul. Now, last week we began talking to you about lost believers. And so we want to talk about that today. I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and notice verse 5. 2 Corinthians 13, 5 says, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves? Know how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. So this morning I want to talk to you about examining yourself. I want to talk to you about proving yourself. Try yourself. Put yourself to the test and see whether you be in the faith. People say, well, there is no such thing as a lost believer. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll start reading in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received and wherein you stand, by which also you saved. Notice the condition. If you keep in mind, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you've believed in vain. If they believed in vain, they believed without a cause. There was no reason for them to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. But if that be the case, if they believed that there is no point in me believing that Jesus Christ died for my sins, I mean, I'm all right with God anyway, then they're certainly not saved. But that isn't all. Notice in verse 12, now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? There were people at Corinth that didn't even believe in the resurrection. Therefore, they didn't believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. So what is the good news? Notice in verse 3, I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Well, then an individual is saved by believing something. What is it? Well, it's called good news. What is that good news? That Jesus Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that God raised him from the dead. But there were some of the people at Corinth that didn't believe in the resurrection. Then they didn't believe the good news, did they? They did not believe that God raised Jesus Christ from the dead if they didn't believe in the resurrection. Therefore, they were lost believers. Notice in John chapter 8. John chapter 8. In John chapter 8, verse 30, as he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And then they started an argument with the Lord Jesus Christ. Did they believe on him? Well, the Scripture says they did. And he spoken to them that believed on him. That's what he said. Now, notice in verse 44 what he said unto them after this argument. He said, you are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, and on and on and on. They're lost. Believers, yes, but lost. Maybe they believe their mind and not their heart. That's not for me to say. People make a big argument about that kind of thing. I don't know. I know the Scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And I know that I believed for many years before I was saved. I know there is such a thing as a lost believer. Now, the Apostle Paul admonishes the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, to examine themselves. He said, examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. In other words, if you check yourself out according to the Scripture, and you don't come up to the qualifications and the standards for a saved individual in the Scripture, then you're a reprobate. So what do you believe? I mean, really now, what do you really believe? Do you really believe with all your heart, honestly now, that Jesus Christ did in fact pay for all your sins? Think about it. The Bible said that Jesus Christ was made to be sin for us. The Bible said that he died for sinners. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5, that he died for the ungodly, he died for sinners, and the Bible says in chapter 5 that he died for God's enemies. All right? The Bible said that God made him to be sin for us, him who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Now, this is your life out here. Here's the beginning of your life. Here's the ending of your life on this earth. When Jesus Christ died, all your sins were in the future. Do you honestly believe that your sins were transferred to Calvary and that God made His Son to be sin for you? And that He punished His Son for your sins? Do you honestly, with all your heart, believe that God accounted your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ? And that Jesus Christ is a substitute provided by God for you? Or is it possible that I'm talking to someone that you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and all those that are in your past are paid for? Maybe I'm talking to someone right now that you believe that there was a certain point in your life when you believed on the Lord, and by believing on Him, you ask Him to forgive you. You didn't really and honestly, be honest with yourself now, be honest in your own heart. It won't help me any at all. It won't help other Christian people for you to do this. Be honest in your own heart. Did you at some time just confess your sins to God, maybe at an altar somewhere, maybe in your bedroom? You had just got to the place that you couldn't tolerate yourself any longer, and you confessed your sins unto God, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you believed that by confessing your sins, that you're saved. Therefore, in your mind, your past sins were all gone. Now, you believe that salvation is like money in the bank. You believe that it's like God puts, or someone, we'll say, goes and puts several $1 million in the bank for you. It's a gift. It's there for you. But you believe that you have to write a check on it every day. You believe that every day you have to write out a check and claim by faith that which is in the bank. And you say that's your salvation. In other words, you believe that every day you have to repent of your sins and confess your sins. The next day, repent of your sins and confess your sins. A man in our assembly a year or two ago, an elderly man, came in here. Someone invited him. This old man began to contradict what I was saying, and I was talking to him about eternal life. He said, yes, I have eternal life. He said, I believe that I'm saved, yes. And I said, is there anything that you could do whereby you would not be saved? And he said, why, certainly so. Now I asked him, what is it then? And he said, fail to repent of my sins and confess my sins every day. Well, then that man really does believe that his salvation hinges on his repentance and confession of sin. I bet you I'm talking to somebody right now. You're the one. You, at some time in the past, you confessed your sins, and you believed that was salvation. You did not understand. You never came to realize that Jesus Christ paid for your sins. He died for your sins. They were put to His account, and He did away with them at Calvary. You never saw that. That's the good news. Why, the Bible said God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. In other words, the trespasses of every individual that is listening to my voice was imputed to the Lord Jesus Christ, and He became accountable for your sins at Calvary. Tell me, you that say you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, is there any possibility, is there any sin that can be put to your account now? God took your sins and put them to the account of the Lord Jesus Christ, and He accounted for them. He died for every single one of them. They were all in the future when He died. God made Him to be sin. God delivered Him up for us all. And He took our sins upon Himself, and He died for our sins. He accounted for them one by one and paid for them with His death. Then is there any sin that you could commit and God would account it unto you? If you really believe that, then you don't believe that He paid for all of them. Look in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall not with Him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is there that can lay anything to the charge of those that God chose in Christ before the foundation of the world? Jesus Christ died for them at Calvary. They believe on Him as their Lord and Savior. Who is there that can charge them with their sins? Can someone charge you with your sins? Can God someday say to you in a judgment in the future, "Depart from me, you worker of iniquity, I never knew you," and say that because that after you trusted the Lord, then you lived in sin? Who can lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. In other words, God knew before the foundation of the world every individual that would believe on Christ as His Lord and Savior. He foreknew that you'd trust Christ. He didn't predestinate you to trust Christ as your Savior, but He did foreknow if you will trust Him as your Lord and Savior. He foreknew that. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. Verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He did predestinate. Who did He predestinate? Those that He did foreknow. He did not predestinate someone to be saved and someone to go to hell. Everyone that He foreknew, what did He know about them beforehand? He knew that they would hear that Christ died for their sins, was buried, and that God raised Him, and that they would believe that with all their heart, and they would trust the Lord with all their heart. He foreknew that. As many as He did foreknow, He did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. In other words, then, God predestinated that every individual that trusts Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, He predestinated them someday to be conformed to the image of His Son. To the image. What is that? Well, that image is spiritual. God is a spirit. The Bible said that Jesus Christ is in the image of God. God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. God is a spirit. Jesus Christ is in the image of the Father. One day, we that believe on Christ will be in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. We will be like the Lord Jesus Christ. God predestinated it to be so. Say, well, how about if this individual falls away and doesn't confess his sins daily? Well, if him formed of the image of God's Son is based upon him confessing his sins daily, then it isn't of grace, is it? No, that won't work. Jesus Christ died for all your sins. Which ones of them can He impute to you if Jesus Christ died. If God accounted them unto his Son, can he now account them unto you? Isn't that some sort of double jeopardy? Back in the passage, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Verse 32, he that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Look back in Romans chapter 3. In Romans chapter 3, verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Now watch. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Come to verse 26. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. Nay, by the law of faith. I'm sorry, verse 27. Where is boasting then? It's excluded. By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Go back to Romans chapter 8, verse 32. No, 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. In other words, if God justified this individual right here, then God cannot see sin in that individual's life. Why? The sin that he commits was imputed to Christ. The sin that he'll commit tomorrow, Christ paid for in A.D. 33. Every sin that he could ever do, Christ paid for. Turn, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. People just don't believe their Bible, do they? In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, notice in verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? You know what people make that out to be? They make it like this. Know ye not that they who do not live righteous lives shall not inherit the kingdom? That isn't what he said. It said, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Who are the righteous? Those that are righteous by the faith of Christ. Hold on to Corinthians there and go back to Romans 3 again. Romans chapter 3 and look at verse 21. Romans 3:21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested. Verse 22. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference. In other words, the righteousness of God is imputed to those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ based upon his faith and his work at Calvary. We're righteous by faith in Christ. Now, go back to 1 Corinthians 6. Verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Has nothing to do with whether you do good or bad. Has nothing to do with whether you be good or bad. It has to do with you either believe or you don't. You either trust Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, or you don't trust him as your Lord and Savior. If you are confessing your sins every day, trying to gain your salvation by doing so, you don't trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Why not come clean? Why don't you just let down and come clean and be honest with yourself and admit that if you honestly trusted Jesus Christ, believing that Jesus Christ 1900 some odd years ago paid for your sins, all of them were imputed unto him. All of them were counted unto him, and he paid for them all, and you believe in him, then they can't be imputed to you. Why don't you just come clean and admit that? What are you afraid of? You see, if you believe with all your heart, then you're not afraid that they'll be imputed to you. Back in the passage, verse 9, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Such were some of you, but you're washed, you're sanctified. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the Spirit of our God. I'm just reading what he said. Now look at the next verse, verse 12. All things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I'll not be brought under the power of any. I bet you I'm talking to somebody right now, you don't believe that. You think that Paul got crossed up there. You think he got messed up somewhere in his theology. You see what that man said? He said, all things are lawful unto me. He said, they're not expedient, but they're lawful. What things? Well, read them back there, verse 9 and 10. Say, well, Brother Moore, if I believe what you do, I'd commit adultery. Nah. If you believe what I do, you wouldn't commit adultery. And if you, people say, well, if I believe what you do, I'd rob the bank. You'd rob the bank anyway if you weren't afraid. No, that's just a lot of nonsense. That's just trying to get around the issue. So what are we talking about then? We're talking about an examination of what you believe. Paul said to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5, examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. Okay, examine yourselves based upon what the Scripture says. Do you believe what the Scripture says about salvation? What about salvation? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe what? That he died for your sins. How many of them did he die for? All of them. They're all paid for. And if you believe on him, God justified you. Therefore, he could never impute your sins unto you. Examine yourselves whether you be in the faith. You see, I'm saying unto you, there are a lot of people today that believe in Jesus Christ and they are not saved. They have not committed their salvation under the Lord and quit fooling with it. They're still trying to gain it themselves. I hope that isn't you. Our time is gone today. Thank you for listening. Till next time.